welcome to another program. We're still in the book of Proverbs, and we're studying the subject of wisdom. If you're going to have wisdom, the foundation for the whole thing is the truth. Daniel said way back in Daniel 7, verse number 19, I would know the truth. Do you want to know the truth? I hope you do. In John chapter 8, verse number 32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Way back in Daniel 7, verse 19, Daniel said, "I would know the truth." Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3, Paul referred to them which believe and know the truth. We have seen that Daniel set his heart for the truth. I'll read that verse again. It reads that Daniel said, I would know the truth, Daniel 7:19. And then in Daniel 10, verse 2, the Lord said to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. There was a first day. There was a time when Daniel said before God, yes, I want the truth. I would know the truth. Listen to this message in song and make it your prayer. Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
We cannot believe an unsound doctrine and live a life according to the truth. Daniel said back in the book of Daniel, I want the truth. And again, Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Romans 7:15, that word know has been translated allow. We need to understand that the truth is very expensive, and for that reason, most people, and I say most people, who name the name of Jesus Christ do not want to allow the truth to change them. We are living in an age where there is a willing departure from the truth. Speaking in the local church context, Paul said in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 that there was going to be some that would depart from the faith, and then in verse 2 he said they will be speaking lies. In our study in Proverbs, we've seen in Proverbs 23 and verse number 23, we are to buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. If we are going to buy something, we are going to obtain it with an exchange for a payment. To buy something is to invest in something. Again, if we're going to buy the truth, it is going to cost, and we are going to look at that in this message concerning what the truth is going to cost. What will it cost you to buy the truth? Then we read, once we have bought the truth, we are to sell it not. If we are going to sell something, we're going to give it up in exchange for something else. If we sell the truth, we also sell wisdom and instruction and understanding with it. Solomon sold that package. Solomon ended up selling the truth. Well, how did that happen? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that he made an affinity with Pharaoh and took Pharaoh's daughter to be his wife. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 26, it says Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses, and of course, those horses were there to pull his chariots. Well, what's wrong with chariots? Well, the Bible says that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, Psalm 20 and verse 7. God had commanded the kings of Israel to trust in him. For Israel's kings to get horses and chariots would be like us gathering tanks and all kinds of artillery to fight a war. And God said to the kings in Israel, you trust me and I'll fight your wars. Well, Solomon didn't. He had 40,000 stalls for his horses. And he also had taken on Pharaoh's daughter to be his wife. In fact, in 1 Kings 11 and verse number 1, it says that Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonites, and the Hittites. In 1 Kings 11 and 2, God plainly said Israelites were not to intermarry with those people. And we read in 1 Kings 11 and 4 that Solomon's wives turned away his heart. God said in 1 Kings 11 and 6 that Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. And 1 Kings 11, 9 says the Lord was angry with Solomon. When Solomon sold the package, he gave up his ability to discern the truth, his wisdom and instructions from God, and his ability to understand were gone. When he came to the end of his life in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 15, he said, here's his testimony, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. What happened? His wisdom failed. Ecclesiastes 10 and 3 says that when the fool, talking about himself, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. He also said in Ecclesiastes 11 and 5, those who sell the truth knoweth not what is the way of the Spirit. And that's what happened to Solomon, selling the truth. He sold a package deal, and that's what is happening in this age of apostasy that we are living in today. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And this explains why there's so little discernment among our so-called fundamental leadership of today. When we sell the truth, we sell the package. The lack of wisdom and the lack of understanding prevails today. And as Solomon said, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth to me. And it is happening to all kinds of people in our so-called fundamental movement today. We can't make sound decisions without wisdom. When we sell the truth, we are on our own. And concerning understanding, Ephesians 4, 7 through 18 says that if we're going to walk as the heathens walk, we are going to have our understanding darkened along with them. Ephesians 5 and 9 says that the fruit of the Spirit includes truth. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11 and 5 that he came to the end of his life and he knew not the way of the Spirit. Why? Because he sold the truth, and the fruit of the Spirit includes truth. Again, Solomon ended his life saying in Ecclesiastes 2:15, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. What happened? He sold the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. First of all, it says in this verse that God would have all men to be saved. That word has been translated all 748 times. It has been translated every 117 times. And it has been translated everyone 28 times. That God would have all men to be saved. That puts an end to the heresy that Calvinism has promoted, that God is determined that some people would go to hell. That is a heresy straight from hell. Not only would God have all men to be saved, it says he would have them to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men who are saved to know the truth. Jesus gave us a promise in John 16, verse number 13, that tells us when the Holy Spirit had come, he will guide us into all truth. Jesus didn't say some truth, he said all truth. And he didn't say pleasant truth, he said all truth. Some truth is not pleasant. Also in 1 Timothy 3:15, it says the local church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. We have a responsibility as pastors today to present the truth, all of the truth, some of it not being so pleasant. And as we present the truth from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will confirm the truth in the hearts of those that are listening. No excuse. We have no excuse for ignorance. Not only does the Bible say that God would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, it refers a lot about being ignorant. Isaiah 56:11 says that the shepherds, referring to pastors, were shepherds that cannot understand. Why couldn't they understand? Well, as previously mentioned, Proverbs 23:23 spells it out. Buy the truth, sell it not. We will not be able to understand the things of God when we sell the truth. When we sell the truth, we lose wisdom, instruction, and understanding with it. Verse 10 says that these watchmen are ignorant. Isaiah 56:11 says they look to their own way for their own gain. The word gain here has been translated covetousness 10 times, and it has to do with those who are leaders, pastors in particular, shepherds they're called here, who are more interested in their personal desires than they are in preaching all the counsel of God. I want a big church, or I want to look good in the eyes of my peers, or whatever the case may be. That was the problem in Isaiah's day, and that is much of our problem today. We have a lot of ignorance in the local church situation today. The problem didn't end in Isaiah's day. The New Testament warns us about being ignorant. Romans 1 and 13, Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant. Romans 11, 25, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 10:1, I would that you should not be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1, I would not have you ignorant. 2 Corinthians 1:8, I would not, brethren, have them ignorant. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant. 2 Peter 3:5 refers to them that are willingly ignorant. 1 Corinthians 14:38 says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. We have read that the Lord would have us all come to the knowledge of the truth. The word truth is in the Bible 35 times in the context of the local church, which the Bible says is the pillar and ground of the truth. And when writing specifically to the pastor, Paul used the word truth 12 times. For instance, in 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul talked to that young pastor at Ephesus about the knowledge of the truth. And in chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, I speak the truth. In chapter 3:15, he says, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. In chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, believe and know the truth. In chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul talked about those who were destitute of the truth. And then again, writing to the pastor, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:18, who concerning the truth, some, he said, have erred. And he wrote in chapter verse number 25 about repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In chapter 3 and verse 7, he talked about those who were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul said, these also resist the truth. And then in chapter 4 and verse 4, he talked about those who turn away their ears from the truth. Paul wrote to Titus, another pastor. In Titus 1 and verse number 1, he talked about the acknowledging of the truth. After that, in chapter 1 and verse 14, he talked about men that turned from the truth. And then he talked to the pastor in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, and in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, and he said to those pastors, I kept back nothing. He also said that in doing that, it was profitable for them. And in verse 27, he said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He also said in verse 28, pastors are to take heed to feed God's sheep. He also warned pastors in verse 29 to watch out for those grievous wolves that will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And then, if it wasn't bad enough, he said in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Wouldn't it be nice if there was no wolves in sheep's clothing sneaking into our churches? Wouldn't it be nice? That would be nice, but that's not the real world we're living in. Wouldn't it be nice if there was no one speaking perverse things like what was happening when Paul wrote and said to the pastor, you've got to stop their mouths? That would be nice if it wasn't happening, but it was happening, and it is happening today. Wouldn't it be nice if all truth was pleasant truth? Paul's unpleasant truth included 1 Timothy 1:20 when he referred to Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. What was Paul doing there? That wasn't very nice. Yes, it was very right. He was exposing the hypocrites. Wouldn't it be nice if he didn't have to expose Hymenaeus and Philetus because their words were eating like a canker? As he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18. Wouldn't it be nice if in 2 Timothy 3:8, Paul did not need to name James and Jambres, who had caused Moses so much trouble? Wouldn't it be nice if in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul didn't have to talk about Demas, who had forsaken him and loved this present world? Wouldn't it be nice if he didn't have to talk in 2 Timothy 4:4 about Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much harm? Wouldn't it be nice if in 3 John 1 and 9, John, the beloved disciple, didn't have to talk about Diotrephes because he loved to have the preeminence among them? Wouldn't it be nice if Jude didn't have to talk about those that had gone greedily after the error of Balaam? Wouldn't it be nice if Paul didn't have to openly expose Peter because he was leading other Jews astray? Wouldn't it be nice if Paul didn't have to expose Peter because Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, and other Jews dissimulated likewise with him, Galatians 2:13? Yeah, it'd be nice, but it's just not the real world. The fact is, Bible truth includes exposing those who promote error. Paul's truth included the unpleasant responsibility for pastors to expose those who promoted unsound doctrine. Publicly, they were exposed, and by name. Jesus, Jude, John, and Paul named the people who were apostate promoters, and Peter was included at one time in that list. The pastor who does not name those who promote unsound doctrine is derelict in his God-given responsibilities. The apostasy is coming in today like a flood, and the greatest source of apostasy that is creeping into our churches today lays at the feet of pastors who will not be faithful to their God-given command to name those who are influencing Christians and overthrowing the faith of some. Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus, and the Bible says this was written for our admonition, was to charge those who teach other doctrine. He wasn't told to invite them to a meeting and have some fellowship with them. He was to charge them. The dictionary says to charge is to accuse someone of something, especially an offense that is contrary to the law. In Titus 2:15, we read Titus was commanded to rebuke with all authority. He was to rebuke them sharply that they might be sound in the faith. There's not much of that going on today, and if you do that, you will be considered to have a bad spirit and you'll be called unloving. If that's the case, Jesus, Jude, John, Paul the Apostle, they all had a bad spirit, were unloving, according to that nonsense. Paul's final message was for pastors. If you look in 1 Timothy and Titus, you will see that Paul went straight to the problem. He said there are some mouths that are influencing with unsound doctrine, and they need to be stopped. In our so-called fundamental independent Baptist movement today, men have arisen that have said we don't need to repent. And what they are saying is Jesus and all those preachers in the Bible and godly preachers for the last 2,000 years apparently didn't know what they were talking about. Well, the whole idea now is we won't get a crowd if we're going to tell people they have to repent. The new common plan of salvation is simply to pray a prayer and ask God for a little forgiveness like the Catholics do, and we'll call them Christians. The problem with that is Jesus said, "Nay, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." You call yourself a Catholic, you call yourself a Baptist, call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I don't have much of a problem here deciding whether to believe Jesus or the new movement we have amongst our Baptist friends. It is a very serious problem when someone messes with God's plan of salvation, and it is far more serious when we bury our heads in the sand and even promote those who promote what Paul called another gospel. We are talking here about the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth in Timothy's day was that wolves were coming in sheep's clothing, and referring to those wolves, he named them Hymenaeus, Philetus, Demas has forsaken me, Alexander, he says, has caused me much harm, Diotrephes wanted the preeminence. Now, it'd be nice today if we didn't have this damnable heresy, this no-repentance plan of salvation being presented by our so-called fundamental movement. That would be nice, however, that is not the real world we are living in. The Bible says at the end of the age, church people are going to turn away their ears from the truth. It would be nice if pastors would learn to do what we are commanded to do in 1 and 2 Timothy, and that is to charge those who teach other doctrines. But a pastor can't do that and build a big church at the same time. Well, Jesus didn't build a big church. Jude and John and Paul the Apostle didn't either. They just preached the truth, and that's what we're here to do today, and it's time we got back to doing things God's way. Well, once again, Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." As we said at the beginning of this series, if you're going to buy the truth, it's very, very expensive in this age of apostasy.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.